better you. You gotta rise up, rise up. There's nothing you can't do. You may be down, but you're not out. As long as you believe and trust that you can rise up. Don't tell God about your great big problems. Tell your problems about your great big God. Step aside and let Him solve them. You can win against all the odds. You can rise up, rise up, and be a better you. You can rise up, rise up. There's nothing you can't do. You may be down, but you're not out. As long as you believe and trust.
Consideration for access to Rise Up was paid for this week by Big Loud Records, Warner Brothers, and Curb Records.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Well, good morning. It's great to have you with us again. Each week I pray for this radio ministry. And so today, if you're listening, you've been prayed for. And it is a great thing that we know that prayer works, because we're seeing more and more answers to the prayers that we've prayed. And we believe this, that we've prayed that God would begin to give you a hunger and a thirst. And I'm witnessing that being awakened in our area and in our land. Jesus said this, "Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness." If you follow that through, if you're not blessed, you're under a curse. And I believe many of people have walked under the curse where they have no hunger, they have no thirst for righteousness. Even this last week, I was praying for our little town here, because I know this, that on July 2nd, this town fills that night with more people than ever of any other time of the year, because we do fireworks here just behind our building, and they shoot it over the Black River and the Keystone Bridge. And so as we were preparing on Wednesday, that day, on Wednesday morning, I was praying, oh God, that you would place in this area the ability for people to hear your thoughts, to be able to understand your will and your ways, to have the wisdom of God that's pure and peaceable, that all of a sudden they would realize and recognize that they have freedom, not only in a nation, and praise God for this freedom that we have in this nation, but you step into the kingdom, you have freedom spiritually. See, Christ came to set people free. It was for freedom that Christ came. He promised us that he's going to set the captives free, that you don't have to live under bondage or tyranny to anyone or anything, because Christ has set you free. And so that's what I was praying, is that God would begin to release people, that no longer would addictions rule and reign in people's lives, that children wouldn't have to come to 4th of July celebrations and see a bunch of adults that are under the influence of drugs or alcohol or in anger and fights. See, I'm praying for kids. This week, we will start our kids' camp, and we have, I believe there will be 45 elementary students that will be with us all week this week. We are believing and praying that those kids would experience the wonderful blessings of Christ, that as we share with them the truth that sets them free, that they would begin to have a real hunger and an appetite for the wisdom and the will of God in their lives. And I believe that because children have the wonderful gift of being teachable. And so this week, we believe that God's going to impact kids' lives, and it's not just going to change for a day or a week, but it's going to change for their lifetime, because I realize this, that that's what Christ did for me when I was at a Bible camp, is Christ radically shifted the trajectory of my life, and I can tell you I'm so grateful and so thankful. And so this morning, I want to teach on children. I want to teach on children are not a burden. We live in a culture where children have been almost looked at, deemed in many places as a burden, and we can see the consequences of that, the consequences that have been so absolutely devastating for so many lives and so for so many in our society. And when we have opened the door to looking at children as a burden, what we've walked into is a curse. Get that? You open the door when you believe this, that children are a burden. It says in Psalms that children, 127 verse 3, that children are the heritage of the Lord. That means that they're a gift with great promise, great possibilities. And when you disdain a gift, you open the door to living under a curse. Don't miss that. If you look at children as a burden, then you've opened the door to living under a curse. And I believe that in our nation that we have done that. But I believe that God is beginning to raise up people that is going to stand for children and going to defend them. And we are going to see children no longer exploited. I was praying for kids this last week, and I believe that God gave me this image when I was praying. It was like a freeway, and you ever been on a freeway where they put up all these barricades, and they're concrete, and they're not easily moved, but you can move them if you have the right equipment. And so they come with these big cranes, and they have these clamps on them, and they put them over there, and then when they pick up, the pressure of that clamp on that concrete barrier lifts it out of the way. I believe that in our culture right now, there are so many people that have put up concrete barriers for children experiencing the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. But I believe that God has given us the capacity, the ability, and the tools to be able to clamp on to those barriers and those things that have separated kids from this wonderful truth and get them out of the way. And so this morning, I want to teach from Matthew chapter 18 and then a couple verses in chapter 19. In just a chapter and a half, Jesus says 9 times these words. 3 times he says, little children. 3 times it's little child. And 3 times it's little ones. In these few verses that we're going to read today, some people say, well, it wasn't on his mind. It wasn't part of his plan. Hear me. Jesus said, unless we become like little children, he cares about children. He cares about those that are vulnerable. He cares about those that are innocent. He cares about those that are ready to launch into life. And so many people have looked at them as preys to prey on. And they're really predators. And we can see that in absolute unbelievable ways. It's just sickening what I see, where adults have preyed on children. And Jesus has some strong things to say. If you think for 1 minute that Jesus was just this passive guy that went around petting lambs all the time, I can tell you that you have a wrong picture, a wrong view of who Christ is, because he lays down the truth. And sometimes people say, well, that's a little harsh. What we're going to read this morning, some people would say, well, that's not the Jesus I know. Well, then you don't know the real Jesus. Because he makes some statements here that are not open to argument, they're not open to debate. And you either agree with them or you go off on your own tangent, your own way, and you live under a curse. See, I'm going to teach the whole word, the counsel of God's word, even in a culture that wants to continually dilute it, continually pollute it. Verse 1 of chapter 18 in Matthew. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put them in the midst of them and said, "Truly." When Jesus says that word "truly," you'll see it over and over. He says, "I'm declaring the truth to you that is not open to debate. Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What a statement. Verse 5, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jump with me if you're following down to verse 10. "So that you see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Who do you think? What do you think? If a man had 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain to go and search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that any of these, or that one of these little ones should perish." What a powerful statement. Then if you stay with me, we're going to jump over to chapter 19. "Then the children were brought to him, and he might lay hands on them and pray for them. And the disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs to the kingdom of heaven.'" Do you understand that there is a theme that is running through what Jesus says here? Jesus cares about children. Just before what I read in chapter 18, if you read chapter 17, a man brings to Jesus his son, and he's done everything he can possibly do, but his son is demon-possessed, and his son is throwing himself, his son is trying to kill himself. Really, the demon that's manifesting is trying to kill his boy. And he's throwing him into the water, and he's throwing him into fire. Hear me, that did not end when the Bible was done being written. That did not end when Jesus ascended. We still see the manifestations of demonic authority and demonic darkness. And people say, "Well, why are you acting like that? Why are you doing that?" Hear me. There can be a demonic manifestation that causes people to respond and react in ways that they do. You can't read the news. If you watched the news at all last week about that man up in Idaho that shot these two firefighters, and there's no sense to any of that other than it's a demonic manifestation. Because Jesus told us the enemies come to rob, steal, and kill. And when we see these things, we understand that those people are under the control. But Christ has all authority. And so this man brings his boy, and his disciples were not able to do anything. But Jesus doesn't minimize it. He doesn't say, "That boy's not important." He casts that demon out of that boy and gives him back to his father, and he's in his right mind. There's something so powerful about this. And so in the midst of all of these things where people say, "Well, that's not valuable, that's not important," hear me, Jesus looks at things and he says, "That is important and that is valuable." And he looks at children and he says, "They are important and they are to be valued because they are a gift." The exploitation of children has been a constant in this world. And Jesus wouldn't let it slide here. And he will not let it slide now. The gift of being a child, he talks about here in chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. He says, this is a gift. Children are a gift, aren't they? I believe that with my whole heart. To see them happy and innocent and carefree. What a powerful thing that is, to see kids that are not consumed with the worries of adults. This next week, We're going to be out on Clam Lake, and we have a beautiful ski boat, we don't ski behind it, we tube behind it. And I just went out and bought a $300 tube. It's called Big Mabel, and it sits three kids, and the kids call it the couch tube because they sit on it like a couch and they hold on. And there'll be kids lined up on that dock from our free time, a couple hours in the afternoon, they'll be lined up on that dock, and we'll be out there with that boat giving kids rides. And many of them have never ridden on a tube, and they just, I'm telling you, they just, the joy, I wish I could bottle that kind of joy and the laughter of those kids, because it's absolutely so contagious, it's so attractive that I need it at times, other parts of the week, other parts of the year. But you know what? I'm going to pull up with that boat, and you know what I'm not going to hear? I'm not going to hear one of them kids say to me, Pastor Todd, what's the stock market doing today? What's going on in Washington today? They could care less, because they are experiencing the wonderful joy. When Jesus said we must become like little children, he said, I don't want you to be consumed with worry and fear. I want you to enjoy life. He said, for such is the kingdom. You have to become like a little child. It's the gift of childhood. It's the gift of innocence. It's the gift of trusting him and being filled with peace. When Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, he wasn't just giving he wasn't kidding us. He said, no, it's not, I'm scamming you here. I'm promising you something I'm not going to give you. Some of you today need peace, and it's only going to be found through Jesus Christ, because that's the only peace that's eternal. It's not based on outward circumstances. It's based on an inward strength. And Christ wants to give you some peace today, the peace of a child. You ever see a child sleep? I mean, I have some grandkids, and I'll just go in for a year, watch them, and we have a little one, Luke, and man, that guy is just, he's a little over a year, and to watch him sleep is such a blessing for me, because it's deep, and it's just so absolutely pure. That's what Christ wants to do for us. When people become adults, they get filled with all this worry and anxiety. Here these disciples are looking at competition, and they're asking, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest? In Luke, it tells us this dispute arose among these disciples. And Jesus calls this child, and he says, this is what matters. This is what's important. And you know what he says is, whoever humbles himself... Whoever humbles himself to turn and become like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Not the greatest in our kingdom of this world, but the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Because the greatest in our sphere are those who push themselves forward, and it's all based on pride, that if you really look below that veneer, that thin surface of pride, what you will find is deep, deep, deep insecurity and fear. And so Jesus says the way around that living with the mask of pride, but underneath the absolute storm of insecurity and fear, the only way that you get past that is you humble yourself. You say, I don't have it, but he does. I can't do it, but he can. See that humility. And the humility, James says, if we humble ourselves, the enemy will flee from us. Don't get miss that. If you will humble yourself, it's not something that you have to do. It's a choice that you get to do. So we come to that realization, because some people just continue to just build up that pride, and they layer on that exterior, and they get a thicker, thicker coat above that fear and worry. But Jesus said, if we choose to humble ourselves as a child. I was out with my grandson this last week, and we were in the garden, and that's one of the things that I like to do on my day off. And So I was out there when my wife pulled in with them, and he came running out there, and I had an extra hoe, and so he grabbed the hoe, and he said, is this a weed, Pa? And then he kept asking, and we say, no, that's a potato, Jack. No, that's a pumpkin, Jack. You know, that's corn. Oh, that's a cucumber. But he was learning. See, he wanted to know. See, if you come and you say, I want to know, you are blessed because you're teachable. You're blessed because you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And it only comes through humility. Oh, there is something so precious about a childlike faith. And it doesn't just have to be with kids, but it can be with adults where you just say, Lord, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm believing for your promises. Humility is a wonderful trait. I loved what C.S. Lewis said about humility. It's not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Get that? Let me say it again. It is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. I believe that that has to apply to my life. That has to apply to every one of our lives. That you come when you're called, that you're easily taught. He said it's the greatest in the kingdom. The greatest. He says, whoever receives one of these children in my name receives me. Think of that. I think of that because we make that a place. And anyone that knows the history and the ministry and the vision of Cornerstone knows that children have been at the very forefront of it. We have ministered to children to the point that at times in the early part of our existence, people would get upset with me and say, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. It is all about the kids because they're the most easy to prey on in our world. And if we don't protect our children and provide for our children a place for them to grow up, and I don't regret any of that 25 years ago. I don't regret people leaving this ministry. I don't regret any of that because I witnessed those kids that we poured our lives into then. I witnessed them rising up, getting married, having children, working, and being a blessing to this society because they've placed Christ first in their life because they heard it when they were a child. And so hear me. When Jesus says this, when you receive a little child, you receive me. I'm telling you that that's not a small matter. We receive Christ when we say, I'm going to make a place for kids. I'm going to get some of these concrete barriers out of the way. I'm going to remove some of these burdens that kids are under. Next week, kids will not worry about the stock market. They won't worry about whether or not the lights are going to be on at their house or the rent's going to be paid. They're not going to worry about any of those things. And we're going to see kids experience the kingdom of God. The peace. What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom. That's what we need to see kids experience. That's what you need to experience today. It's the greatest. He goes on to say the protection of children. He doesn't minimize and he doesn't remove. He says, this is so, he said, it would be better if you cause one of these little ones, there's that word again, who believes in me to sin, it would be better to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Whew. That is not a passive statement. So hear me, if you harm children, you are on his radar. And the only way off that one is you better repent and ask Christ to forgive you and Christ to fill you. Where you've harmed a child, I'm telling you, that is something that Christ here doesn't make any excuses for. He said there's no tolerance for this. We live in a society where we want to tolerate. We want to tolerate. We want to tolerate kids being told that of gender issues, of all these foolish things. That is not tolerance, and he will not tolerate it. He said a millstone. We think that's something small. A millstone, if you study this out, he was talking about a stone that weighed at least 200 pounds, most of them, in that society. And they were a round stone with a hole in the middle, and a mule or a donkey would move it around a larger stone underneath of it, and it would crush that grain or that wheat or those olives. it would press it. He's saying that there is no way out of this unless. So Christ is not making any statement or any minimized because I can see the effects and the damage. I will tell you that the majority of what I do as far as ministry, as far as counseling, as far as praying for people, is bringing healing and restoration to deep wounds that people have experienced when they were children. Some of you are listening right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can remember a day when something happened. You can remember an event. I see videos where these people are in drunken rages and kids are in the background. Hear me, those kids will never forget that day. You might never forget a day that some violence took place. Only Christ can go back into that place and bring the healing of his salve into that place. Because I see the damage, and that's why Jesus doesn't make any excuses for this. Because the damage that kids have experienced when they're children can last a lifetime. No wonder adults are isolated. No wonder they're filled with anger and rage. Because that abuse, that wound took place when they were a child. But what I see is God's healing those deep places. I watched it in my own family. I watched it in others where God heals those deep places of wounds. That's the wonderful power of Christ, is he is a healer. He's the one that can take those places. You're not damaged goods. Christ has brought restoration and healing into that deep wound. Matthew, so he says that you have an angel. It says that he tells us here in verses 10 through 14, do you not understand? Do not despise one of these little ones. Think of that word, despise. What a terrible thing to make of no account, that they don't matter. They matter. Don't despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, he says, in heaven, their angels always see my face, the face of my Father. So it's the will of my Father and that none of these little ones would perish. You might have had one of these little ones perish. They passed away. I was with a couple this last week and had dinner with them one night. I was there and did the funeral for their little boy, 3 years old. I can tell you that they have another reason to look forward to heaven, because I know without a doubt that that boy's there, that beautiful little boy. So in this world, kids are unfortunately through maybe stillborn or abortion, but I can tell you that their father has an angel in heaven who sees them and who has made a way for them. I believe that with all my heart. And maybe even today, you have lost a child. You have lost a baby through stillborn or even abortion. But hear me, only Christ can come and give you a hope in your heart to heal that place and say, oh no, there's one day. I remember one lady, we had a funeral for service for a child she had aborted. And God gave her just this picture. It was a little boy. And just it filled her heart with such hope that there was healing in that woman from that moment on. That even though this thing had happened, he says, these are the greatest ones. These are the ones that matter. And so he wants to bless children. Isn't that amazing? We read those two verses in chapter 19. The disciples said, there's no room here for kids. They're a nuisance. And Jesus rebuked them and he said, stop. And he let them come, didn't he? That he might lay hands on them and pray for them. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he still wants to do. He still wants to be that source of blessing for you, for children. The disciples said, they don't matter. Jesus said, no, they're the ones that matter. And so he said, such as, let the little children, do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You get to hang out with kids, you get to see the wonderful, like a visible representation of man, the very power of God, the very presence of Christ, the kingdom. And so this morning, I challenge you today, come to a place where you can experience the wonderful healing power of Christ. It's all about relationship. It's all about this identity of coming into Him, experiencing Him. For the love of children, that was what I titled this message. For the love of people, that's why Christ came. He came to remove the sin, to give you the ability to be a child again, to be the ability to feel the hope and the joy and the peace that only Christ can give. Today, maybe you need to humble yourself. You say, I've got a lot of money, but I don't have any hope. I don't have any peace. I don't have any joy. Oh, become a child again and say, oh, Jesus, today, would you fill me with your love, with your peace, with your joy, with your hope? Would you forgive me of all these things? Would you bring healing to my life today? And I want to pray for children today. Maybe you can remember a place of great trauma when you were a child. I'm going to pray that God would heal that place in you, that He would give you the ability to forgive those who harmed you. Father, thank you that you're drawing people. Thank you that people are humbling themselves. Thank you that you're filling them right now as they do that with a joy and a peace that only you can do that. Praise you that you're moving, doing miracles for people right now. Thank you that you're healing those old places. You're giving people the ability to forgive those who preyed on them. You're healing up those places. Thank you that you're watching over kids. You're blessing them with a hunger and a thirst for you, Jesus. Thank you that you're doing great things today because you're a great God. And so we say, yes, let your kingdom happen in our lives today. Let something radical happen for men and women right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we pray for you, and we believe that God's word has spoken to you this morning, and it's going to give you the faith you need this week to live in a place of victory.
Couldn't get much hotter. Little umbrella-shaped margaritas, coconut oil tanning senoritas. Oh, now I know how Jimmy Buffett feels. Hands on the wheel, cruising down the interstate. Gas pedal sticks, carries my car away. I was going as fast as a rambler goes. I could feel the speed from my head to my toes. Oh, now I know how Richard Petty feels. Well, I've been around the block a time or two. Got almost everything a boy can do. Got some living, yeah, I've had fun, but there is one thing that I haven't done. Saved 2 months, bought a little diamond. Tonight's the night, feels like perfect timing. Down on one knee on mama's front steps, man, I'm gonna die if she really. Yes. I wanna know how forever feels. Well, I've been around the block a time or two. Done almost everything a boy can do. I've done some living, yeah, I've had fun. But there is one thing that I haven't done.
ashtray. Half empty bottle of Gatorade rolling in the floorboard. That dirty Braves cap on the dash. Dog tags hanging from the rear view. Old skull can and cowboy boots and a gold army shirt. Folded in the back. This thing burns gas like crazy, but that's alright. People got their ways of coping, oh, and I got mine. I drive your truck. I leave that radio playing, same old country station where you left it. Yeah, man, I crank it up, and you'd probably punch my arm right now if you saw this tear rolling down on my face. Hey man, I'm trying to be tough. Mama asked me this morning if I'd been by your grave. But that flag and stone ain't where I feel you anyway. I'll drive your truck.
Got a devastated smile, knock a grown man to his knees. See, I'm gonna have it is, it blows me away. She's everything I wanna say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. See, I'm gonna have it is, I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. You know I've never been the type they would ever want to stay. Bring them home at night and they're gone the next day. But that all changed when she walked into my life. And people asking why it is, tell them I don't know. That just something about the woman makes my heart go haywire. She's gonna be my wife. She got one of them
it blows me away. She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got whatever it is, I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you. You got whatever it is. That's how I feel. Cause when she loves me, I'm on top of the world. It's when she loves me, no, I can live forever. And when she loves me, I am untouchable. She got whatever it is, it blows me away. She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got whatever it is, I don't know what to do. Cause every time I try to tell her how I feel, it comes out, I love you, I do. You got whatever it is. Oh, you got whatever it is.
Second wind, turning these doubles into nothing, trying to drown something burning down in my chest. It's beating me black and blue, like only goodbye will do. Wish I could just drop it, but I got a problem, and it ain't even you. Nah, it ain't even you. Damn this heart and everything that comes with it. Damn this missing you, even not feeling. Rip it out, girl, if I didn't need it. If you're gonna break it, well, why don't you keep it? It ain't doing nothing but keeping me up. I can't help it, it just loves what it loves. It hurt like hell when you tore it apart, but I didn't know that it would take it this hard. But damn, it's hard. It's like a dog. Never felt it, nothing I can tell it. It's dragging me through hell and back again. Damn this heart and everything that comes with it. Damn this missing you, even not feeling. I'd rip it out, girl, if I didn't need it. If you're gonna break it, well, why don't you keep it? It ain't doing nothing but keeping me up. I can't help it, it just loves what it loves. It hurt like hell when you tore it apart, but I didn't know that it would take you this hard. Damn this hard. Damn this hard. It's beating me black and blue, like only goodbye will do. Wish I could just drop it, but I got a problem, and it ain't even you. No, it ain't even you. Heart and everything that comes with it. Damn this missing you, even not feeling. I'd rip it out, girl, if I didn't need it. If you're gonna break it, well, why don't you keep it? It ain't doing nothing but keeping me up. I can't help it, it just was what it was. It hurt like hell when you tore it apart, but I didn't know that it would take it this hard.
Yeah. a minute for my finger to find my daily dose of destiny under my sign. My eyes just about popped out of my head. It said the stars were stacked against you, girl. Get back in bed. I feel lucky. I feel lucky. Professor Doom gonna stand in my way. I feel lucky today. Well, I strolled down to the corner, gave my numbers to the clerk. The pot's 11 million, so I called in sick to work. I bought a pack of Camels, a burrito, and a Parks. Crossed against the light, made a beeline for the park. The sky began to thunder, wind began to moan. I heard a voice above me saying, girl, you better get back home. But I feel lucky. Oh, 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 I feel lucky, yeah. No tropical depression gonna steal my sun away. I feel lucky today. Was sitting at the bar. I bought the house a double and the waitress a new car. Dwight Yoakam's in the corner trying to catch my eye. Lyle Love is right beside me with his hand upon my thigh. Moral of the story is simple but it's true. Hey, the stars might lie, but the numbers never do. I feel lucky. Oh, 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 I feel lucky. Hey, Lyle, boys, you don't have to fight. Hot dog, I feel lucky tonight. I feel lucky. Brrr. I feel lucky, yeah. Think I'll flip a coin. I'm a winner either way. I feel lucky today.
No country music was harmed in the making of this song. This is only a test, 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 test.
Well, I wish I had some shoes on my two bare feet. And it's getting kind of cold in these painted on cut-off jeans. I hate the way bikini top chafes. Do I really have to wear it all day?
Yeah, baby.
I hear you over there on your tailgate whistling, saying, hey, girl, but you know I ain't listening. 'Cause I got a name, and to you it ain't pretty little thing. Howdy, your baby, it's driving me red, 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 redneck crazy. Well, shaking my money maker ain't never made me a dime. And there ain't no sugar for you in this shaker of mine. Tell me one more time, you gotta get you some of that. Sure, I'll slide on over, but you're gonna get slapped. Huh. These days it ain't easy being mad. Girl in a country song, how in the world did it go so wrong? Like I were good for. Shut right along and be the girl in a country song.
the son of a third generation farmer. I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter. I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my plower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester. 3 miles of cars laying on their horns, falling on deaf ears of corn, lined up behind me like a big parade of late to work road rage jerks, shouting obscene words, flipping me the bird. Well, you may be on a state paper, trying to do my job, but this year ain't been no bumper crop. If you don't like the way I'm driving, get back on the interstate. Otherwise, sit tight and be nice, and quit your honking at me that way. 'Cause I'm the son of a third generation farmer. I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter. What I make a lot of hate for a little pay, but I'm proud to say I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my plower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester. Well, I know you got your own deadlines, but cussing at me won't save you no time, hoss. This big wheel wide load ain't going any faster, so just smile and wave and tip your hat to the man up on the tractor. 'Cause I'm the son of a third generation farmer. I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter. I got 2 boys in the county 4-H. I'm a lifetime sponsor of the FFA. Hey, that's what I make. I make a lot of hay. But I'm proud to say I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my plower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester. Working combine driver, hogging up the road on my flower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester.
Don't have to leave this town to see the world, 'cause it's something that I gotta do. I don't wanna look back in 30 years and wonder who you're married to. Wanna say it now, wanna make it clear, for only you and God to hear. When you love someone, they say you set them free, but that ain't gonna work for me. If I had to choose what I couldn't lose, there'd only be one thing. I don't wanna live with.
only you and God to hear.
Like a lady, but she was so much like a child. A devil when she held me close, an angel when she smiled. She always held it deep inside, but somehow I always knew she'd go away when the grass turned green and the sky turned baby blue. The color of her eyes, baby blue, like the Colorado skies, like a breath of spring she came and left, and I still don't know why. So here's to you and whoever holds my baby blue tonight. She brought colors to my life that my eyes had never touched. When she taught me how to care, I never cared so much. I try not to think of her, but I fall asleep and do, and drift off where the grass is green and the sky is baby blue. Baby blue was the color of her eyes. Baby blue, like the Colorado skies, like a breath of spring she came and left, and I still don't know why.